Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to Mark Boerichter for coming on the show, giving his Eclipse preview. Herm Edwards joined us and let you know what happened on Game of Thrones last night. Gary Lezak, in a very threatening tone, said he's on his way to Liberty right now. Later on, Brian McCray will join us. But right now, Sam Mellinger is in studio with us. And Sam, I must say, whenever you come in here, one of the first things I do to prepare is I put your Twitter page on my iPad Pro, powered by Sprint. And every time, this is like, probably not this many, but in an effort to keep with the theme of the show, I feel like 69 straight times. every time I get your Twitter page up and I see the banner, I laugh. It makes me laugh. This wide variety of looks, like Bob Lee is interviewing every version of you.
Yeah, somebody did that on Twitter. Some hero.
Every time I see this, it makes me laugh.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. I can just turn it around and wait for a minute, and then turn it back around and I laugh.
So I actually I texted a friend, and I said, you know, like Twitter to me, like Twitter pictures or whatever of like you on TV are just like bad news. I just always kind of cringe. Like, what are you doing, buddy? But I said, if I do this, but it's actually making fun of me because there's just ridiculous pictures of me on there, photoshopped, is that okay? And he said yes.
So which,
I got clearance from him.
So is that like a Twitter humble brag?
Which is your favorite version of yourself appearing on ESPN with Bob Lee there?
Second from the left.
The shaggy really. Hair?
Yeah, and just that dumb look.
I'm just happy, you know. Here I am.
There's a bit of a psychotic
smile. I like my job.
Sam, I got to be honest. It's a little bit like, I might murder you.
You don't know what I'm capable of.
Like, see, the first one, very professional. Here I am to talk about something serious.
Right.
The second one, boy, I like my job. I'm just here. Let me have some fun here.
I'm going to the bar after this.
You look like maybe you're under duress there. I don't know what's happening.
That looks like a hostage video.
And then the last one's like, you've had enough of this. Like, hey, okay.
I think I just woke up in that one.
Right. I don't like that question. Stop this line of questioning. So that's very, so I just wanted to let you know that makes me laugh all the time. Something else that makes me laugh is just thinking about the Chiefs having Patrick Mahomes II. It makes me laugh, so it makes me happy. And then I read a very good column that was written by Sam Mellinger. And so let's talk about that. Oh, I don't know, right now. Tell us what you wrote about Patrick Mahomes II looking better than expected.
Yeah, at the very, very, very least, the Chiefs are not going to be in the market for a veteran quarterback, which is something that we had talked about a lot, right? That, you know, maybe they bring in whoever the 2017 version of Nick Foles is. That's done. I don't expect that to happen at all. Patrick Mahomes has not been perfect during training camp. He's thrown some interceptions, particularly over the middle of the field, that kind of thing. But he is, I think, so much, and maybe they've just been sandbagging, you know, publicly and privately about what they expected Patrick Mahomes' timeline to be. So that's obviously a possibility. But even if they've exaggerated a little bit, he is so far ahead of where they expected him to be on August 21st. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, in the best case scenario, I think the Chiefs would have thought maybe he can be our backup, but we're going to be worried if we have to go more than, you know, a half a game with this guy just because of the mistakes that he may be capable of. And I don't think that that's a concern now at all. The Chiefs, I think Joel Thorman said this on Twitter. I think it was Joel. But the Chiefs now have one of the best quarterback situations in the NFL. Like, how fast did that happen?
They really do.
Yeah.
And look, Alex Smith has looked very good. So He's been great. And I know that Jeff Jadia and others have disagreed with this, but I do think, and maybe I just want to believe it. Maybe I'm just trying to force myself into believing it, but I do think that having Mahomes here and him performing well is going to continue to have a positive effect on Alex Smith. Not that he's going to go out there and turn into Brett Favre overnight, but I do think that he may be a little bit more willing to take risk and aggressive, It's a motivator. So I don't think it's. I think it's going to make him into. I don't know how much better, but a better quarterback than what we saw last year.
Yeah, I want to say a couple things about that. First, I'm with Jeff Chidia and whoever else has disagreed with you on that for a few reasons. But I will say that Therese, who I think knows more about that team than anybody who's not employed by it, believes that there may be some of that, and more than some people who are employed by that team. By the way. He believes some of that.
Agreed.
and there are people in the organization that believe that that may be having an effect. I disagree with it for a few reasons. One is that Alex Smith, he's like 33, right?
Yeah.
He's been in the league a long time. I think, you know, sort of you are what you are at this point. And the other thing that I just remind people of is we went through this last year, right, during training camp, of Alex Smith taking more shots downfield, Alex Smith, you know, being more aggressive, taking more risks. Every year the story is he willing to, you know, go downfield, take more risks and all that. And every year we look for signs that he is. And then every year when the regular season starts, he's the same guy.
And maybe Andy Reid is going to be part of this as well, because he calls the plays. And the nature of the team and the offense is a little bit different now.
It is, and that's a good point, because he may go downfield a little bit more, but I think that's because, you know, Tyreek Hill has not existed in this form. Tyreek Hill had, what, like 40% of the offensive snaps last year.
And this year he'll have 80 or 90.
Yeah.
Younger, faster wide receivers?
Yeah. I have a hard time, you know, and it doesn't matter. What matters is whether he goes downfield and you know, is more aggressive. But I just have a hard time believing that a guy at 33 years old, I think in his 12th year in the league, all of a sudden now is going to change in some tangible way just because of who his backup is and not because of other factors, you know, just in the offense.
And I think it could be a good way for him to audition for Jacksonville when he gets traded there next year.
Right. Right. You'd take that first round pick, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'm not laughing.
I'm really worried. I'm actually worried that he's going to end up in Denver next year.
That's why you trade him.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why you trade him.
Would you do that, though, if you're Jacksonville?
Depends on who they're going to draft.
That's going to be, what, 20? I forgot what his number is. I just know they save 17 if they cut him next year. I don't know what his number would be.
They have the money, and they have the supporting cast around him, and they have, you say, the Chiefs are one of the best quarterback situations. They have a horrific quarterback situation, and they're probably going to draft a guy next year.
Yeah.
And then if Alex Smith just understands, hey, you're going to be a guy that the next team's probably going to bring in, be the starter for a year or two and to get to the next guy. But he can win games. He can help you win games.
I say this as somebody that likes Alex Smith. I would not make that trade if I was Jacksonville. To give up a first-round pick and pay the guy, you know, $20 to $25 million right off the bat.
I don't think it would be a first-round pick.
No way. No way.
Third-round pick, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd do that.
Would you if you were the Chiefs? If you thought Mahomes was ready, third-round pick?
Yes. Yeah. After the season?
Seventh.
I mean, look, hey, the Chiefs gave up 2 second-round picks for him and money, and he's done what they hoped he would
do. He's
been
everything that, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm Jacksonville, and you got to think about, so who's running things down there now? Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone, two old guys. Yeah. Take care of the football. Leonard Fournette, we got to, you know, and I could totally see that. Mm-hmm. That brain trust buying into that.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I think there is something. I mean, I understand your point that 33-year-old man doesn't, like, a leopard doesn't change his spots and all that. But I do think that part of why Alex Smith is so conservative is because he physically knows there are throws he can't make. But I think another part of that has been something that has become who he is through experience and coaching. He's been coached to be conservative, don't make mistakes, keep us in the game, all those types of things. And so I do think that also means that he can change a little bit. And we're talking about degrees here. We're not talking about, I don't think even Steven's predicting a 5,000-yard passing season or, you know, anything crazy, but more, you know, shots downfield. And I think that there might be, I could just see there being a bit of freedom. I see in Alex Smith a guy who has played to protect something over the past 4 years that he's been here, and I could see him going, well, there's nothing for me to protect now because they don't even expect me. I'm not going to be here next year, so you know, what the heck, man? Screw it. Let's go. You know what I mean? I feel like there could be some freedom there.
I do, but I don't think he thinks like that. I don't think he thinks I'm not going to be here next year. I think he thinks if we go to the Super Bowl, they're going to bring me back.
And the only way he goes to the Super Bowl is if he opens it up a little bit.
A little bit. But I also think that it's his personality. Think of the good years that he's had, you know, not just here, but in San Francisco. It was protecting the ball. You know, that year that they made the NFC Championship game when they were within, you know, two kind of fluky special teams turnovers from the Super Bowl, he had the lowest interception rate in the league. The next year when he lost his job because of the concussion, he was leading the league in completion percentage. I don't know about an interception rate, but he was taking care of the ball too. I mean, that's when his success has come. Again, if what you're saying is he's going to open it up a little bit more, go downfield than he has the previous, four seasons in Kansas City, I can believe that. But to me, that's because of Tyreek Hill. You know, this is a guy who's, you know, his number one receiver the first few years that he was here, right, was, I think the first 2 years he was here was Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe's not getting down the field. You know, even in Dwayne Bowe's prime, he was not getting down the field. So, that part of it I agree with. And again, that's what matters is the results. I have an issue with the psychology behind it. Because he's just a conservative guy by nature. I think that's who he is.
But that year you're talking about where his completion percentage was ridiculously high in San Francisco before he lost his job, he threw by far the most yards per attempt of his career. I think it was, I'm looking at it, 7.97 yards per attempt. I mean, way higher. So I think he could get back to being that kind of a guy. You know, and I agree with you. It's more than just one thing. I mean, it's, you know, he's got weapons. But like that throw that he made to Kelsey in the game against Cincinnati, there were two, if not three, defenders around him, and he still made the throw.
Yeah, I asked him about that throw specifically after the game, actually, and his answer was like both surprising and smart. Not because it wasn't surprising, because it was smart. But if you watch that play again, and I did after he explained it this way, and I didn't notice it at first, that the linebacker's back was completely turned. And so Alex's explanation was that was the read. That was absolutely the Cincinnati did a blitz that they were hoping that they would do on that play. And they got Kelsey isolated against the middle linebacker. He's got a speed advantage. And he got that middle linebacker's back turned. So he didn't think it was actually a very risky throw. It was a tight window, but he didn't think that there was a risk of an interception there. And I thought the exact same thing that you and I think everybody else did when that throw happened. It was, ooh, like that is a risky, you know, non-Alex Smith kind of throw that he made. But his explanation kind of changed my mind about that a little bit.
Josh tweets in a very, I think, a very good question, perhaps the question of the day. In your opinion, when will Patrick go home to sex Alex Smith? Eclipse. I know you're excited about the
We're
eclipse.
We're making Eclipse dad jokes today on the show. So.
And Sam Ellinger, let it be noted, in studio wearing his Eclipse glasses. So
yes.
That's, thank you
absolutely.
For getting in the spirit of things. So
I can't
let's,
see you at all.
Have that horrible joke transition into Patrick Mahomes II in the column you wrote. And this is, hey, we're having fun here.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not going to start at the earliest until next year unless there's an injury or the Chiefs were to fall out of contention, but we're not anticipating either of those things. So let's just let's enjoy Patrick Mahomes II in preseason.
Let's do it.
What was your favorite Patrick Mahomes II play from Saturday night?
My favorite was the naked bootleg where a 6'6", 275-pound man was not fooled at all and had a clean shot at Patrick Mahomes' sternum. Mahomes stiff arms said man, runs to his right, throws into a very tight window to a tight end between kind of over one defender and in between two others right at the sideline to convert a third down near the goal line. That was a ridiculous play.
Pardon me. Sorry. Excuse me. How unprofessional.
I mean, that like...
Oh, sorry.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Hey,
thank goodness.
Take it easy.
I mean, in the moment, like I don't know. I hate saying this.
Say it.
I guess I don't hate it enough to not say it. But I think that's the best play by a Chiefs quarterback in a long time. Mm. I can't, you know.
At least since Tyler Thigpen.
Right. I do want to, like, look, I am as fully on the Patrick Mahomes wagon as anybody. I think he's going to be terrific, and I way overdrafted him in my fantasy league. I'm all
good
in on
you.
This guy.
Good for you.
But, is this a keeper league, I assume?
Yeah. Good for you. But doesn't it feel, even if you did take him to, didn't it feel good
it did. Yeah,
when he I was think, there and you pulled the trigger and you took him? You're like, you know, oh, I got him. Right. You know, that's right. I know that. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh,
but the, you know, the first, it was his first throw. I don't know if it was his first snap. It was not his first snap, but his first throw the other night. Could have been picked. Would have been a really nice interception.
Should have been picked.
And the footwork was bad. Yeah. You saw there. So kind of broke down there. Yes.
So, I mean, there's, you know, there's that stuff. So I mean, that's a perfect example, right? Like, that's kind of what we've been talking about this whole preseason. That play on third down where he stiff arms and makes a ridiculous throw, that is a play that Alex Smith cannot make. Right. He's just incapable of making. Right. That throw that was almost interception, that's a play that Alex Smith will not make.
But if you're looking for improvement, if you're looking for flashes, if you're looking for signs of him taking steps forward, it's all there for you.
I can't believe how good
he looks. It's all right there.
I mean, I can't believe how good he looks this quickly. Because, again, and I know I've said it many times, but it stunned me how bad he looked at the rookie minicamp that first day. And it's clear that a lot of that was intentional by the Chiefs to really just tear him down to the, you know, nuts and bolts or whatever. But I can't believe how good he looks this quickly. And again, it's preseason. Maybe it's vanilla defenses. I don't know. But that's so exciting. It's so exciting. Hey, let me ask you guys a question on this one. The touchdown that got called back to the 2-yard line, he did that dive for the pylon thing, and he lost the ball. Now, it would have been a touchdown because he hit the pylon with the ball first. That play always makes me incredibly nervous because if you fumble that ball, it becomes a turnover and a touchback.
You already got the first down.
What do you say to a Patrick Mahomes after that play if you're a coach? You don't want him to lose the gusto and the going for it type mentality, but do you say to him, hey, man, don't stick the ball out like that when you're going towards the goal? Like, or do you just let it go and say, hey, man, that's just going to be who he is?
Well, I want to know, and this is, you have to trust that he'll give you the honest answer. I want to know if he was able to, you know, kind of in his peripheral see that there wasn't a defender diving toward it that could knock it out when the ball's just in one hand or whatever. If that's the case, then I say be aggressive. I have a hard time, like, you know, kind of taking. In a vacuum, it would have been better if he just ran out of bounds, you know, like at the 2. You got the first down.
Or just dive holding on to the ball, tucking the ball.
Yes. But in the moment, I think that's a big ask, you know, to don't be aggressive, don't go for the touchdown.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe especially, you know, I know we want to be positive at this point, but Chiefs can't run the ball short yardage between the tackles. That's going to be a problem. It was a problem last year, and it's going to be a problem again. And, you know, maybe they do need to be more aggressive when they get in those situations to avoid, you know, trying to get Spencer Ware, you know, Kareem Hunt or whoever running between the tackles, because that does not look like it's working.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And look, this is what we wanted to see. Because can you imagine the people that get off on criticizing Mahomes if he'd have looked bad and thrown a couple of picks and done none of these things and looked, you know, not ready and overmatched? How, that's all we'd hear about, and jumping all over him. But since it's not going their way, well, this is just preseason. But if he looked bad, oh, see, he's going to be a bust. Just take it for what it is. Vanilla defenses, vanilla offenses. He has taken, they made great, unbelievable strides since rookie minicamp.
For sure.
You see, and this is, and Andy Reid knows what he wants in a quarterback. This is why he wanted this guy. You see it. We all see it. That's what we wanted to see, and whoa, boy, are we seeing it.
Yeah, a couple more things, too, is that, you know, one thing that he did in that Cincinnati game was erase the, after San Francisco, it was like, yeah, but that was against third stringers. You know, that was, now he got in with the ones against ones. That and Cincinnati's got, you know, that's, I think they went, what, like 6-9-1 last year. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, not a great team, but that's, you know, that's a representative NFL franchise, and he had the success against, you know, that kind of talent. I think the vanilla offense, vanilla defense is a good point, because I think that simplifies things, which, you know, tilts the field in his favor. The other thing, and again, this is something that Therese pointed out the other night when we were watching, is that he's lost weight, I think.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? He
looks quicker. And
I thought he looked, pudgy's too strong of a word, but he did not look athletically built at rookie minicamp. And he does, like, he had almost like a little bit of a gut, you know? Yep. And he doesn't, he looked much more athletic. He looked the part.
Yeah.
And his accuracy on the run is really impressive.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's I think that's his best strength.
Yes.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB in the commercial break, giving a movie tip to Sam Mellinger. I saw Wind River over the weekend, starring Jeremy Renner, and I can safely say that if you like Hell or High Water, then you will like this movie because it was written by the same person, and Sicario also. And so Jeremy Renner was outstanding. Do not take the kids. This is not a family film. It is graphic, but outstanding storytelling, and the pace was very good, and just extremely suspenseful thriller. And for a while, they got edge of your seat stuff. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was terrific. I mean, Jeremy Renner was just outstanding in that movie. So throw that out there. We continue with our talk on the Kansas City Chiefs before we transition into not a good weekend for the Royals, despite avoiding the sweep and getting the win yesterday against Cleveland. Sam, we focused so much on how good Patrick Mahomes looked and Alex Smith looked terrific. You mentioned the problems in the short yardage game for the run game. Any other players that you'd like to mention that you thought were impressive or made a good case for themselves? I think, obviously, battling for a spot for Kendrick West. I don't care who it's against. I when he's healthy, and I think he's been more injured than we've been led to believe, and battling some nagging injuries. As a third down guy or a third running back, I like his shake and bake, and we've seen him make big plays. And so you could do worse than having the third running back on your roster be Charcandrick West. I was glad he looked healthy and made a claim for that third running back spot.
Yeah, I still think he's the most likely to be out, just because C.J. Spiller looks terrific. I mean, he looks explosive. So I still think he may be the guy who's out, but I think, as Andy Reid said on the conference call yesterday, if they keep three running backs, somebody's going to get a really good player. And whether that's Spiller or West, I think the other two are safe. Demetrius Harris is not dropping footballs anymore.
That was a tough catch on the one from Alex Smith, too.
Yep, he was covered.
Traffic.
He was not open. He was covered, and he caught it. And that's been that's been how it's looked in training camp as well. I thought Benny Logan, playing for the first time was a real problem, at the point of attack. Marcus Peters was thrown at twice, tripped once, right? Just fell down, and the other time broke up a ball. Nobody else. Wentzman looks terrible. He's getting beat just regularly.
Parker Anger, where are you?
Yep.
Come back to me. I hate to have to interrupt the.
I was wondering what this was about.
Chiefs talk here, but
I'm sorry. I don't know if this is real or not.
That needs the. Why do I have to again qualify this? Jake, can you tell when I'm joking at all? Do you know me well enough? Can you figure it out? Or?
Yeah, I can usually pick up on your sarcasm.
Now I need to say. Said that I'm projecting 5.2 million people in St. Joseph, first of all, I was kidding.
No, and you weren't.
Second of all, how on earth would I project that?
I don't know. What am I?
Are you projecting, you're speaking on behalf of the station.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really know how you projected it, but who am I to question your math?
Yeah, I'm projecting 8 million now. I don't know.
No, you better be careful.
Dude, 8 now? It's gone up to 8?
8.4 million
Holy
people are on the way up.
No.
That's amazing.
So,
I don't know if this is a real Twitter account or not.
Yeah, it's unverified. But it has the looks of a real one.
It's being followed by Fox 4 News and all these different news reporters and stuff, so I don't Can I say what it is?
If you want, I'm not. You can go ahead. You go. You get sideways with him.
I'm not getting sideways with anyone.
I want you to.
Anyone.
Do it.
There is a sheriff. There is a local sheriff Twitter handle that says WHB and KC reports projections of 5.2 million people in St. Joe today by noon.
Heavy last traffic. Week I had it at 4.7 million, so I said it's increased. You know what? Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait. Jake, can you play the siren? I think we have our latest projections. Hold on, wait.
Wait, I want to be careful when I play this. I mean, we really need
Okay, you know what? Then play something else. Play a ding. Leave me a bell. There you go. Our latest projections have 6.7 million people.
Hold on, on the Belt Highway
alone.
Point what?
6.7. There could be later projections. Just wait.
All right.
6.7 on the Belt Highway alone today.
This Twitter account doesn't look good. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's real.
My Twitter account doesn't look good either.
Yeah, so. I don't think it's real. But that would be so funny if there's a sheriff out there taking this news from us. Wow, just heard it on the radio.
So, Sam Ehlinger.
Yes.
Royals. They won yesterday. They avoided the sweep, You know, it felt like, especially Friday night, it almost felt like the Indians come to town. They, oh, you think you're still in this thing? Let us go ahead and end that tonight. Let us just remind you are not in contention for the AL Central. I know Ned said all the right things, and then they followed it up by shutting the Royals out on Saturday. Royals come back and win yesterday, but people have been waiting for the 10 games head-to-head against the Indians. Oh, no.
Yeah, that was bad for a lot of reasons, including that the Indians had a doubleheader the day before, and the Royals had the day off the day before.
And it was at Kauffman Stadium.
And just got trounced. And then to back it up with 5-0 was also ungood. But, I mean, that's...
Right.
Wordsmith.
You like that? But it's like they're still, you know, I'm looking at it right now. They are a game and a half out of a playoff spot.
Right. Wild card.
I mean, there are flawed. Some very flawed team is going to be in the playoffs this year. And I would remind people, a very flawed team was in the playoffs 3 years ago.
Right.
Won the wild card game, got to the, you know, seventh game of the World Series.
A flawed team could end up winning that game and winning the next series. I don't know if they'll go all the way, but absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
One hot stretch.
But is this team too flawed right now to be that flawed team? The reason this starting rotation has fallen apart in the month of August.
Yep. That's been the biggest issue.
And I know Rustin Dodd does fantastic work. That's why we allow him to come on our show.
Allow. I like that.
he pointed out that this team didn't have a great rotation when they won the World Series, but they had an otherworldly bullpen.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they had something else to augment that rotation. This team doesn't have the other great stuff around it to get away with having a bad starting rotation, right?
Yeah, I mean... I mean, Rustin's right. The rotation wasn't great 2 years ago, but it was better than this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it had a great bullpen.
And the bullpen to back it up, for sure. And the bullpen is, I still think it's a little bit above, like, league average, but it's not, you know, it's not what you want with that rotation. And it's certainly not.
And with two guys on the disabled list
for
now?
The last 2 years. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not what it was 2 years ago. And, I mean, it's just. It's duct tape and chicken wire, and you know they need to score. You know, this is they're the point in the season because of the way that the rotation. I mean, you know, Jason Vargas the other night went like 4 1/3 or 4 2/3, right, and gave up 4 or 5 runs. And you know, if he would have done that in the first half of the season, you're shocked. Now it's like again, you know, and you know if that's how it's going to be, then the offense needs to score, and the offense is. I don't know, maybe a little bit better. They are better than they were 2 months ago. But, you know, just getting one run total the first two games against the Indians is just, you know, not good enough. And, you know, they'll get a boost, you know, tomorrow or maybe Wednesday when Sal Perez comes back. You know, that'll help. But, you know, this is not a team. You mentioned the two guys, and you're not making an excuse, I know that. But you mentioned two guys from the bullpen going on the DL, and Sal Perez is on the DL. But this is not a team that can use the DL or injuries as an excuse at all. They've been. I know Duffy was hurt for you know, what, 6 weeks or whatever it was. But this is a team that, if you took all 30, the Royals have been, you know, better, I would say, than most with injuries.
Salvi's the most valuable player. That's the guy you can least afford to lose.
It's not a distinction probably worth making, but I would argue for Lorenzo Cain, but I would not argue, like, passionately against, you know, I think it's probably one of those two guys.
Jason Vargas, over the last 60 games for the Royals, he's had 11 starts to the tune of a 5.64 ERA and a 1.58 whip.
So. I mean, that's horrendous. And, you know, I think at the All-Star break, you know, when his ERA was it around, it was in the twos, wasn't it? And anyway, like, I think we all knew that he wasn't going to be that good over the second half of the year. But, you know, I think what you would hope for is that he would just regress back to his career averages. And if he did that, this season would look a lot different.
The thing is, I mean,
he's almost there.
It's easy to see it now, say it now, that he's been pitching poorly. But my fear at that time was, how long can you trick major league hitters? Yep. You know, I mean, and I know, like, Bod gets really mad at me whenever I get too hung up on the radar gun, but when you have the slowest fastball of any regular major league starter, like, you're literally relying on deception constantly. And it's like, how long can that work? And because his fastball is slower than it's, like, you're saying, well, can he, you will just hope that he has the same kind of year that he's had his entire career. And it's like, man, how many guys have, like, you know, most guys at 34 are already starting to decline.
Absolutely.
34 removed from Tommy John surgery, uh-huh, really start to decline. Uh-huh. And I'm just a little fearful that it's not without the realm of possibility that he's this bad the rest of the year, I guess, is what I'm saying.
100%. And I think that the Tommy John is a good point to bring up. That was part of the shock. I think I can say that, of just how good he was, yeah, right off the bat, is that a lot of times guys who have that surgery, it takes them a year after they come back. It takes them another year to be themselves again, and he was that right away. And I wonder if there's some fatigue going in there now. You know, if you go a full year without pitching at all, yeah, and now you're pitching every fifth day, throwing 100 pitches, I just wonder if the fatigue of the season is wearing on him a little bit, because, you know, he is, like you mentioned, I mean, I think his fastball is, what, like 85 or whatever. You know, he's walking on a tightrope, you know, and you know, a little breeze can knock you over. I mean, Danny Duffy can get away with some stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Danny Duffy, when you're throwing mid-90s with movement like Danny Duffy, you can get away with some stuff. Jason Vargas cannot get away with anything.
Maybe I feel like I should keep these Eclipse glasses to wear them when Vargy pitches so he doesn't burn my retinas.
You know what it reminds me of, and I love to bring this guy up because he was one of the most entertaining Royals players I ever covered. But it reminds me a little bit of the year Jose Lima had for the Royals in 2003. By that point in his career, his fastball was not that much faster than his changeup, but uh-huh, somehow for about half a season, remember, he just, yeah, like, he produced for the team.
Won his first 9 decisions, I think, yeah, right?
And it's like, how is this happening? And then by the end of the year, you realize, well, that wasn't sustainable, you know? Yeah.
My favorite part of that story is that the Royals signed him without sending a scout to see him in person, signed him solely because they heard his fastball was up to like 85, 86. Like,
but how
get
much
this
money
guy on
did
our
they,
mound.
How much money did they save on the flight, though? In the scout,
there you go.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty good. Good point.
Probably used a landline to make that call too.
Hello, and back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks a lot for joining us, Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in the studio. So the Royals are off. They've been enjoying some days off here in August. The dog days of August.
Which is good.
Before they take on the Colorado Rockies. The Chiefs, after looking very good, and I get it, don't get too high or too low when it comes to preseason football. That's obvious, but it's still exciting to watch them in the offense, both with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes looking very good. They will take on the Seattle Seahawks this week on Friday night for preseason game number 3, which historically is the dress rehearsal and your chance to see perhaps the real Chiefs, or as close as you'll get to the real Chiefs, in the first half of the game against Seattle on Friday night. And so anything that has transpired so far halfway through the preseason schedule, and now that St. Joe, that portion of training camp is completed, anything that you've seen that has changed what your outlook is, your expectations are for the Chiefs this year?
Well, I guess. I hate to keep going back to it, I am much less concerned about what happens now if Alex Smith gets hurt. You know, I think, like,
that's
honestly, I think that Patrick Mahomes is, like, my biggest takeaway of the preseason. I think, like, the other stuff, for the most part, you know, what I think will be their struggles, again, like running between the tackles and converting those short yardage plays with the run, that's not that surprising. That was there last year. You know, maybe you'd expect the offensive line to have progressed a little bit with strength, but that's not their thing. It's more of a, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, they're more of a finesse line. They're terrific out in space. They're good pass protectors, all that. But just, you know, straight ahead, moving the guy in front of you so the running back can get 2 yards when you need it, that's just not their strength. But I'm not surprised by that. Tyreek Hill, I guess, has been better than I expected, but I expected him to be really good. You know, I think, like, his footwork has been a little bit better than I would have expected. You know, they're still the thing that's hanging out there. I wrote about it a little bit yesterday. I think it's I know it's in the print edition today, is Justin Houston's knee. I caught up with him after the game on Saturday, and, you know, he says he feels 100% and estimated that he felt less than 75% a year ago, that his knee was good in bursts but had no endurance, would die on him after the first quarter. Now, the obvious comeback to that is, how does he know it has endurance now? You know, he hasn't been tested for a full game. But he is optimistic, I think, in a way that if he was honest a year ago, he probably wouldn't have been. And that, you know, I think you guys have talked about this. We've talked about this. I know, Nate, you've made this point. Justin Houston's knee is as important a factor for the 2017 Chiefs as anything else.
This is it. And that's it.
It's the most important thing for the entire year.
They can be an elite defense with him at 100%.
Yes.
And I don't think they can without him.
Because if you just think back to the Denver game, at Denver, the difference he made in that game, and his knee had endurance that night. And, you know, he benched, was it Donald Stevenson even?
Yeah, he just destroyed
it. Just benched their right tackle. And Denver stopped running his way. He had 3 sacks and 10 tackles. And that's, you know, he's not going to have 3 sacks and 10 tackles every game, obviously. But, you know, that's just the kind of impact that he can make. And when that's gone, you know, I don't think Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon Bell does not do what he did. I know Justin Houston played in that game, but he's not, you know, at that point was not 100%. You know, and I think Justin Houston, we talk a lot about Derek Johnson. Justin Houston's a terrific run defender. As a linebacker, and you know that is an enormous thing, and really not something that we'll know about until the third, fourth quarter at New England on September 7th, and really not something we'll know for sure about until we get into December and hopefully January.
I mean, if the Chiefs have any chance of winning that game, which I actually think they do, I put it at Stephen, 20-25% chance of winning the game, which is a lot higher than a lot of people feel. Justin Houston creating pressure on Tom Brady has to happen.
Yes,
and that wasn't available to the Chiefs in the playoff game 2 years ago in New England, and then that's when Tom Brady gets beaten. That's how it happens. Mm-hmm. He is the biggest game changing presence on that defense, and it's not really close if he can get back to being the guy that he was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just. And we can't see it. Like, he had 4 tackles in the game the other day. We haven't seen anything from him yet to know whether or not he's that
He guy. Had a couple nice moments where he's setting the edge and then still gets in to get the tackle. He had another moment where he didn't set the edge and Jeremy Hill got around him for 12 yards. But, yeah, I mean, that's – everything's where I think you'd expect it to be at this point, but you don't really know anything until the bullets start flying. And another thing, Dee Ford was getting around – the edge on the other side a little bit, you know, showing some burst. So I don't know. There's good signs.
I mean,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm generally more optimistic after seeing them some in training camp in these two preseason games than I was before.
And look, I don't know if, because there's a lot of ifs here, I don't know if we'll ever see it, but you'd love, because this year is probably the last year you could see it, you'd love to see a healthy Justin Houston, a healthy Dee Ford, a healthy Derek Johnson, all out there operating at the highest level, or at least at what they can operate at this stage of their careers. I mean, you combine that with, I love the addition of Benny Logan, so I thought he looked good.
Yeah.
And Chris Jones taking that next step.
Didn't even play.
Looks like all the ingredients are there for an elite defense, but, can DJ come back? Can Justin Houston stay healthy? Can Dee Ford move forward and become more consistent? All those, and then
yeah,
I don't even mention Taba Ali, but that's the big question mark, too. Is he going to get on the field and do anything?
All of those answers are not going to come up yes. I think we know that. And I'm a little bit, look, like Derek Johnson's one of my favorite players. And, I would have bet against him for sure after that first Achilles, just knowing what those injuries do to people, athletes of that age who rely on speed. But I'd be very surprised if he's back to, get my years confused, was it 2015, his first year back from the first Achilles when he was terrific and as good as ever been. I don't think he's going to be that anymore. I think age is going to start to get to him. He'll still be a good player, but not, the kind of freak that we saw 2 years ago. That's my fear.
We're almost there. College football.
Yeah.
So next week I will ask you to give your official over and under win totals for Kansas, Kansas State, and Mizzou. So I'd like you to spend all your waking hours thinking about that between now and next Monday. So now are you going with Jake to St. Joe? Or are you going to follow him? When are you heading up north for this thing?
No, I'm going to go meet some people for a little meeting for a possible story here in a second, and then I will watch whatever portion of the clips I can from my home through the trees. Call it a day.
Don't need glasses and look directly into the sun.
I'll listen to him.
That's good advice. I feel like this eclipse stuff is sort of like how a lot of people probably feel about the Super Bowl and other things. Like, I'm kind of interested, whatever, but like some people are like freaking out about it, And I know that's how people who aren't into football feel about the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's good to walk in their shoes.
How most everyone in my family has felt about me my entire life, right. About fights and games and everything right. else. Look at this idiot. He's so excited about this. Well... You know what, though? Here's the thing. I like to get excited about events.
There you go.
Concerts, movies, eclipses, everything.
Spice of life, bam.
That's right. Enjoy what life has to offer you.
We're witnesses.
Go enjoy this brief shower that Gary Lezak had for us today.
I'm just going to keep saying it. We are all just travelers longing for the path of totality.
Sam Mellinger, thank you so much for your contributions to this show. Brian McCray has returned from Canada, and he is here with us in studio to talk baseball after this on WHB.